pastor asked me to minister tonight on Christmas, and it's kind of, we still got 23 more days, Pastor, so. But I want you to turn with me. We're going to start off in two places, John 3 and then Genesis 3. John 3 and Genesis 3. I want you to think about a question as you're turning, and a question that you may want to think about from time to time. How will this Christmas be different for you than any other Christmas? How will this Christmas be different for you than past Christmases? But probably the question that really needs to be asked is, how will you be different this Christmas than any other past Christmases? In John chapter 3, we're going to read a verse that everyone knows, but we want to read it again. John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The first thing we see in this verse is God so loved. When you read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "For God is love." Okay, that is who he is. Okay? So we could read this verse, "For loved so loved the world." For love so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I think sometimes there is part of this verse that we miss. We see God, we see love giving his Son, right? We see that. What we don't see sometimes is the Son agreeing to be given. The Son agreed to be given. Okay? And so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who obviously so loved the world that he was willing to be given. Okay? Sometimes I think we miss that when we read this verse. And the reason that God gave Jesus was that whoever believes on him would not perish. What do you mean by perish? Would not die the eternal death because the person has a sin nature. So Jesus came so that those of us who would believe in him could have a new birth. And he talks about that earlier in this chapter, and that we could go to heaven. Okay? Now the question remains, though, why did God need to send Jesus? Why did he need to do that? Now notice, I did not ask the question of what motivated God to do that, because we know what motivated him. He's love. So why did God need to send Jesus? Go back to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, the serpent has come into the garden, and he asked Eve, "Did God really say you shouldn't eat of every fruit in the garden?" And, of course, we know that God did say that, okay? But Eve asked the question because she wanted to find out one thing for sure. Did she agree with what God had said? That's the bottom line. Did she agree with what God had said? And obviously by her response, we know that she didn't. So in the process of the whole story, she eats. Adam looks at her, sees that she does not die. So he eats. And the Bible says that Adam ate with his eyes wide open, because Timothy says he was not deceived. So he ate with his eyes wide open. He knew what God had said, but he dismissed it because he saw Eve still walking around and biting on the fruit. And so God comes to them and ask them, why did they do all this? And of course, we get to the bottom line, is that the serpent had deceived Eve. Okay? And so we get down to verse 15. God says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman." Between thee and the woman. Do you hear what God is saying? He did not put enmity between thee and the man. Do you see this? Do you see this? It's very important that you do. See, God is telling us right here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Christmas is going to happen, the birth of Jesus. That's what he's telling us in verse 15. Because he says, I will put in between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, what should catch our attention right off the bat? Do women have seed? It's not a trick question. It's not a trick question. Women do not have seed. Seed comes from the husband. Okay? So God is saying, I'm telling you right now, I'm putting you on notice, serpent, that I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall, and her seed is going to bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay? So we see here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that when Adam and Eve disobeyed, spiritual separation from God resulted. Okay? Spiritual separation from God resulted. And so God then, love, had to make a love decision. He made a love decision. The decision he made was, listen to me, the decision he made was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is what we read here in Genesis 3:15. We are reading John 3:16. Okay? We're reading John 3:16. Thy seed and her seed. Thy seed. Who is the her seed? Dun, 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 dun. Jesus is her seed, okay? I am not trying to mislead tonight, okay? And so what Jesus did then, he would make a relationship with the Father available once again. The relationship that Adam and Eve had torn apart, Jesus then would bring it back, okay? So, Jesus is the gift that we celebrate during Christmas. We know that. He was a physical gift, ladies and gentlemen, that had spiritual ramifications. He was a spiritual game changer, if I may use that word. The gift that God gave, the gift that was willing to come, he was a game changer. Now, what then are we going to do with the gift that God gave us? Okay, what are we going to do with it? I want to frame this message this way. When Ephraim, Candace, and Stephen, it's funny to me how they almost all did the same thing when they were 1, 2 years old. We would buy them gifts. And the gift would be in a box. Okay? So they would take the gift out of the box, put the gift to the side, and play with the box. You see, they would play with the box. It never occurred to them that what was in the box was what we are giving you. They looked at the box. And and so Doris and I, we got to the point that when we would give gifts to the children, we would give them gifts in large boxes. Because they would like to get in the box and play in the box, okay? And it just amazes me how it's just a box. And they're in it, and they're playing in the box. They're enjoying the box. And you would think that we had given them the best gift in the world. And they're just playing in a box. And when I was thinking about that, it made me think about SpongeBob SquarePants, okay? And he and his good friend were playing in this box, and with Squidward, he heard all this noise coming out of this box, airplane, guns shooting, and all this kind of stuff. And he goes and looks in the box, and there's SpongeBob SquarePants and his buddy Patrick. And he says, where is all this noise coming from? And SpongeBob says, imagination. And I thought about that because when you give a child a box, the child does, you don't know what's going through the child's mind. All you see are smiles and them enjoying the box. I see, I'm not the only one who's seen that happen. Okay? Here's the problem. Here's the problem. The child is playing with the box, and there's nothing wrong with playing with the box. But the true gift is here on the side. The true gift is here on the side, and the child is not playing with the gift. Oftentimes, Doris and I would have to physically go get the gift, bring it to the children, and put it in front of them so they could see what it was that we gave them. Okay? They would play with it for a little while, put it aside, go back to the box. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oftentimes, ladies and gentlemen, we treat Jesus like he's the gift. We treat him, we pay more attention to Jesus, the physical person, Jesus the man, Jesus the one we read about, than Jesus, what is actually the true gift that was inside the human being. Okay? That was inside the human being. When you do that, you devalue what Christmas really means. Because just like you see Barry's body here, okay, you can interact with me, you can spend time with me, you know, we can sit down and watch TV, we can sit down and listen to music, but unless we engage, you don't know anything about Barry. You don't have any idea what he likes, what he doesn't like, what's important to him, what's not important to him. And see, so many of us, that's how we are with Jesus. Oh, yeah, we got pictures of Jesus hanging in our house. And that lets people know we're Christians. We got Jesus bumper stickers. Have you gone to church today? And lets people know we're Christians. Oh, I love Jesus on my bumper sticker. And then I'm cussing out the guy who runs in front of me on a red light. But I love Jesus. Okay? Or I got a tattoo that says Jesus Christ. It lets everyone know that I love Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the box. That's the box. What I have just described to you is the box. It's not Jesus. It's the box. Okay? It's the box. You don't understand the gift until you start getting into what the box had in it before it became just a box. Because, see, the Bible tells us that God gave Jesus a body just like ours. Because Jesus looked just like a man. There was nothing special about the way he looked. He looked just like Free. Or Lee, or Pastor, or Neil, or Barry. You would pass him in the street and not know it. It was not until you sat down with him and had a chance to get inside of who he was. So my question to you, ladies and gentlemen, are you celebrating the box this Christmas season, or are you celebrating the precious gift that was in the box? Are you celebrating the box this Christmas season, or are you celebrating the precious gift that was in the box? Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, for me, this question is one of those questions that I have to ask myself, because be honest, you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to, you know, nod your head or anything like that. We can sometimes just take Christmas for granted. I mean, we say all the right things, Okay? And we go to church and we do the things that we normally do during Christmas. But when something becomes normal, do you realize there's some abnormality with it? Because if it's just something you do, then you're missing something, ladies and gentlemen. Christmas is more, the birth of Christ is more than what we typically do. What we typically do. When God gave his son, and when his son agreed to be given, they made a conscious decision that we're going to do something different. We're going to do something that must be done in order to save the world. That must be done in order to save the world. In Luke chapter 7, we're going to read the story of the woman with the alabaster box. Okay? And we're going to begin in verse 36. I hope you're all there. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, which she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. I want you to pay attention to this. I don't know why I'm turning sideways. You can't see my Bible. So it says, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay? Not perish, cease to be a sinner. Okay? Cease to be the sinner. So what is she doing, ladies and gentlemen? She is going to find the gift. She's going to find the gift. She heard about Jesus, the person. Now she's going to find the gift. Okay? Verse 38, and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, say on, master. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. For the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, Simon, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. He said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Verse 44. And he, Jesus, turned unto the woman and said unto Simon. He turned to the woman, but he was talking to Simon. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, if you want to hear an excellent message about this, Pastor did a message a number of years ago. It's called Tears in a Bottle. You need to listen to that message, okay? I mean, when he was going through the message, there were tears. It's called Tears in the Bottle. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you see this? We are seeing the Christmas story unfold here, ladies and gentlemen. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. In one of the other records that talk about the woman with the alabaster box, you could hear some of the disciples complaining about the amount, the value of the contents of the box, okay? But let me share a little bit with you. The alabaster box, it was not an ordinary box. It was not made like boxes that we're familiar with today, paper, wood, cardboard. It was not heavy-duty shipping boxes, okay? It was precious. It was found, it was made of a lightweight marble with a beautiful white, almost transparent color that's mostly found in Egypt. The box itself was precious and valuable in and of itself, but what it contained was even more valuable. Even more valuable, because the disciples talked about, well, we could have taken this oil and sold it for X amount of dollars. So this lets me know that this woman had means. Because if she can buy an alabaster box, fill it with precious ointment, she had means. Okay? Now, why would she take the box, take the ointment in the box, and pour it all on Jesus? Because before she could get the ointment out, follow me. Before she could get the ointment out, she had to break the seal. She had to break the seal, okay? And so she broke the seal so that the gift that she wanted to give could come forth. Okay? Where do we read about Jesus' body being broken for us? You see this? So she had this expensive box that had something very precious, but she bypassed the box and gave up the contents, the thing that was truly valuable. Because what she saw in Jesus meant more than the box or what it contained. And that's, you know, like I said, the disciples complained. Now, this is what I want you to see by the disciples. Remember, we're talking about most of us, I'm going to make a very big generalization. Most of the body of Christ only deal with the outer Jesus. Okay? They never take the time to develop a relationship with him to understand what the true gift is all about. Okay? I want to make sure you understand. I make that statement because the disciples, the ones who were complaining about this woman giving this pouring this expensive ointment on Jesus, they were dealing with this Jesus. Okay? They had not reached a point where the gift mattered. They had not reached a point where the gift mattered. This record, for me, ladies and gentlemen, it exemplifies why we celebrate Christmas. Because Jesus came. The Bible says, for John so loved the world, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus said, thy sins have been forgiven. That is exactly why he came. Okay? So are you celebrating the box this Christmas season, or are you celebrating the precious gift in the box? Turn with me to John 14. Remember, we were talking about how you have to get past the outer seeing Jesus, the outer Jesus, seeing the man, to understand who he is and why he came. Part of that comes from understanding the precious gift, comes from knowing the precious gift, hearing what he says, and doing what he says. John 14, verse 15 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. How many of you know that there are Christians all over the world who say they love Jesus? They love the outer Jesus. They have not taken the time to love Jesus. Does that make sense? You hear what I'm saying? They have not taken the time to love Jesus. Because, see, Jesus says, if you love me, you will do what I say. That's, ladies and gentlemen, that's not happening for the most part in the body of Christ. They're not doing what Jesus says to do. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. When we start keeping his commandments, ladies and gentlemen, that's when we start interacting with the gift. That's when we go from Jesus, the man who's talking, to understanding the Savior and the gift. Because like I said before, and Pastor said this morning, you could see Jesus and no one would think he was any different than anybody else. He was a man. So it's not until you interact with him, it's not until you have a relationship with him that you begin to truly understand the gift on the inside. Remember the record in John chapter 6 where Jesus was talking about, Jesus was pushing the disciples to another level of relationship with him. Because he started talking about that, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Remember how hard that was for them to hear? Okay? So he was teaching his disciples about what it truly meant to follow him. And after he made that statement, people started getting up, taking up their folding chairs, getting their blankets, you know, getting their dolls and their pets. Okay, getting their, you know, full foam pillows, and they started walking. They said leaving because they said this is too hard. We don't want to do that, Jesus. We don't want to do that. As long as Jesus was not asking anything of them, they were willing to follow him. They were following the outer Jesus because if he wasn't asking anything of, you know, hey, they sat under all his teaching. They heard him teach, okay? They went to his healing meetings, okay? They saw him feed the 5,000, the 4,000. They saw all of that. They enjoyed being with Jesus. But as soon as Jesus says, if you're going to truly be my disciple, you have to give up the life that you are living for the life I want you to live. Nope. Nope. Sorry. Not interested. Not interested. Not interested. And that's what we see here in John chapter 6. As soon as Jesus, they were willing to follow him until they were faced with having to live for him. They were willing to follow him until they were faced with having to live for him. Ladies and gentlemen, are you celebrating the box this Christmas season? Or are you celebrating the precious gift in the box? Because the precious gift in the box says that your life is going to have to change if you're really going to have a relationship with me and really see what the gift is all about. It's the only way it's going to happen. Okay? John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, look at verse 15. Talking about Simon Peter. And so when they had dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? Simon, I want to ask you something. I know what you've done, and that's in the past, because at this point, the fact that he had denied Jesus three times is in the past. But Jesus said, and let's forget about that, Simon. What I want to know now is, how much do you really love me? How much do you really love me? Okay? And so he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he, Jesus, said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. Notice what Jesus is asking Simon to do. He's asking Simon to go beyond himself to impact the lives of others. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's telling Simon, I want you to go beyond yourself. I want you to impact people. Okay? Verse 17, and he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest that all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Okay? So Jesus tells Simon to feed lambs, to feed sheep. Feed sheep. Okay? He's telling Simon that, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. If you love me, then you have to be in a place spiritually where you can take the things that I have taught you, you can take the things that you've seen me do, and you can give it to others. That is what Jesus is saying. That is all part of us celebrating Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, getting ourselves to the place where we can take this Bible, we can take what Jesus has taught, we can take what Jesus has said, and we are mature enough to assimilate it, we are mature enough to spiritually understand it, and then we take it and go teach others also. That's what Jesus is telling Simon to do. Do you see this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I know I'm being redundant. That whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Peter had a relationship with Jesus on the outer box, okay? Jesus was inviting him into a deeper understanding of their relationship. Jesus invited Peter to move beyond the knowledge into a full and uncompromising relationship with him. Jesus was inviting Simon to interact with the gift. So many of us, we celebrate Christmas with families. Great. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what you're supposed to do, celebrate Christmas with family. That's part of what needs to be done. And the more the mature Christians do that, the more maturing can occur in the families. But it's just not about just your families only, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about your family, just your family only. Christmas is the time. See, Christmas is the time of year when there is a spiritual something that happens. And that spiritual something that happens, it opens a door during a set period of time that's not open any other time. It opens a door where you can talk about Jesus. You can talk about the Christ you serve. It's a period of time everyone expects you to do it. So you need to do it. Everyone expects it. It's that period of time that we have that we can without hesitation, go and, we're not chasing people down, but when we have an opportunity to say, God, I love this time of year. God gave his son for us this time of year. Isn't that wonderful? I remember last year, I was at Kroger's. So I was checking out, and Kroger's here in Beaver Creek, the cashier, they had little pin signs on it that says Happy Holidays. I walked up to the lady. I said, you know, God loves you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. God gave his son for you. I mean, I was not as like that, but I was just nice. I said, you know, Merry Christmas. God loves you. He gave his son for you. She looked at me and says, I'm so glad you said that. I've been wanting to say this all day. Merry Christmas. So she just needed an excuse. She just needed someone that she could say that to and be blessed about it. Merry Christmas. So are you celebrating the box this Christmas season, or are you celebrating the precious gift in the box? Let's look at one more passage, Matthew chapter 25. Look at, we're going to begin with verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep in the right hand, and the goats in the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye are blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you, and prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, thy seed shall, her seed shall kick the crap out of your seed. I'm sorry, Pastor. That was before the foundation of the world, okay? Verse 35. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, no, I don't want to go that far, okay? When you have done it to one of the least, you have done it least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. If we love Jesus, we will keep his commandments. If we love Jesus, love him, we will serve others. And if we love him, we will move beyond the outer box and enjoy the fullness of the gift on the inside. In these verses that we just read, Jesus is not saying, I want you to go out and find the hungry. I want you to go out and find the thirsty. I want you to go out and find people who need clothes. He's not saying that. He's saying that whenever we do that, whenever we do that. How many of you have been driving and you come to an intersection and you'll see someone that has a sign that says, you know, I need money for food, or I need money for this and money for that? There have been several times, ladies and gentlemen, that the Lord, I could just feel the compassion, and I would just give the person a couple of dollars. A couple of dollars. Because I knew the Lord wanted me to give a couple of dollars. Do you not think that Jesus appreciated that? Yeah, he appreciated that. One, because I was obedient. One, because I was obedient. And two, because I was smart enough to have $2. I'm glad he didn't ask for three. But what I'm saying is, if your lifestyle is a lifestyle of one where you allow Jesus' compassion to flow through you, you will have opportunity to feed the hungry, to give water to the thirsty, to give clothes to those who need it. You will have those opportunities, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you something. When those opportunities come, they're not by chance. If you're telling God, if you're telling Jesus that I'm going to live the life that you want me to live, and I have seen here that when I do things like that, that blesses you, I'm willing to do it, Jesus. I'm willing to do it. So don't be surprised if the opportunity presents itself. Don't be surprised. And see, when the opportunity presents itself, you will find out whether or not you really meant what you said. Okay? In closing, as you celebrate Christmas with your family, think about the gifts you're spiritually unwrapping in Christ. We are celebrating his birthday, but in reality, the primary gift that we have received did not come from a store. It came from God. He gave his son. And because God gave his son, we now have that gift living in us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We now have that life living in us, which means, ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to perish. See how great Christmas is? Christmas is a game changer, ladies and gentlemen. You, because Jesus came, because he was born, and because he not only was born, but he completed the process, he went to the cross, he was raised again, we now have an opportunity to receive that same life because of that birth. Without the birth, there is no not perishing. Okay? Without the birth, there is no not perishing. I pray that each of you will have a blessed Christmas day with your family and friends. And as you celebrate, remember the question. Are you celebrating the box, or are you celebrating the precious gift inside the box? It is so easy in the eyes of man to be a Christian these days, because the only thing you have to do is to say you are a Christian, that you know Jesus, that you believe in Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, and that you're going to go to heaven. But that's just outside stuff. When you really get to the point of understanding that when Jesus was born, it gave you an opportunity to be born again. Because without him being born, there is no way we would have that opportunity.